Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Jacques Berger, and when I'm stalking Springbok in the Namibian wilderness, all I take with me is a knife and the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast. It's all a real man needs.
Episode 34 of the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast, and you will have just seen and witnessed the semi-finals of the Aviva Premiership, top 14 semi-finals as well, and you will know who is in the final. As it stands right now, I haven't got a clue, because it hasn't happened yet. Nor's Phil.
Nope, me neither.
Nor's JB.
What? I know exactly who's going to the final.
So, sorry, let me just explain what's happening. So this is being recorded before the Aviva Premiership semi-finals by virtue of the fact that both myself and Phil are on holidays. I know, we don't put this little hobby of making a podcast above our families and friends and loved ones and time off work. To JB's disgust. Let's actually just be honest about this. JB is livid that we're not around.
JB thinks he's a professional podcaster and he thinks we're a bunch of amateurs.
Just can't believe it. I can't speak. I thought we were gonna subject our listeners to having a box set without the last two episodes, because of course everyone wants to hear what we want to say.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
About the semi-final. I mean, that's what they're here for.
Important analysis
exactly.
From us.
So let me. Just...
I mean, I know what I'm going to say already. I'm going to be outraged. There's going to be an element of outrage.
Yeah,
and it's probably going to be aimed at the official.
Well, honestly, we've just had a very tense team meeting in the studio we're in before we actually started this podcast. And me and Phil were saying, well, there's no way around it. We're not going to cancel our holiday. JB wanted me to cut off my family holiday to do a Skype recording.
I don't understand why he wouldn't.
From the other side of the world. Anyway, so listen, we've got this for you. We've got some brilliant stuff coming up for you. And we will be talking about the Aviva Premiership semi-finals, which as I'm speaking right now haven't happened, but as you're listening right now has happened, because what's going to happen is we're going to drop in a review of it from your front room, Phil.
Yes.
Straight after the final whistle of the games.
Maybe not straight after the final whistle, because I'll be in Oslo, but...
As soon as humanly possible.
As soon as I land...
We'll be doing a lounge cast.
As soon as I land from Oslo, after having found a bar that shows English Premiership rugby...
Will be hot.
Me and Jay will be putting something together and it will be dropped in.
Right, so that is coming up. So I hope you enjoyed the game. I haven't seen it and I doubt I'll be able to find a television or anywhere with it on. So I'll just have to keep up to date with the text updates and whatnot. But there's plenty more to come on this. We've got another entry into the banter squadron. We have got one of the best 15s that we've done over this past season, and which we're going to be going over again. And right now, and what we're kicking off the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast with, now that for a lot of teams it's the end of the season, it's that time of year when loads of sevens and tens tournaments start happening around the UK, around the world and everything, we are going to select a sevens team from the Aviva Premiership sides.
We're using a draft model though, yeah?
Well, yeah, just explain what that's about, JB.
Okay, well, as you well know, I want to basically turn rugby into NFL by eliminating knock-ons, but I also want to bring in a draft.
And by
draft
having
system.
Ridiculous celebrations after tries are scored as well.
Well, not anymore, unfortunately. The NFL have pretty much outlawed everything.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
They've stopped those celebrations.
You can't. The only thing you can do is the Lambeau
Spike league. The ball.
You can't spike the ball. Oh, you can spike the ball. But you're not allowed to dunk it over the posts. You're not allowed to do anything. Long story, and I'll tell you why another time. But it's actually quite a funny story why you can't.
So we're going to do it draft style. Okay, a draft is we basically pick teams, like kids in a schoolyard. We line up and we pick teams, one after the other.
So we can't have the same player.
Correct.
In two teams.
So then we'll have three teams of sevens, and then we'll throw them out to the listeners, and then you can tell us whose team is best. And after I win, I can be swung.
Let's see who's going to pick first. I've got three bits of paper. Which one do you want, Phil?
I'll go for the one on your left, my right.
Picking first will be you.
Ooh.
Fix. JB, pick another one. My right or my left hand?
The one with my name on, please, Tim.
Right or left hand?
Left.
Picking second in the draft, JB.
Excellent.
And I'll be picking third.
So are we going to go first, second, third, then third gets another pick?
Yes, so third gets back-to-back
picks. I think that's a good idea.
I don't like going first, then.
No, because obviously Tim gets...
First and sixth pick.
So is anyone that's in an Aviva Premiership squad for the season that's just gone?
Yes.
You've got to pick the player and also put his position.
Yeah, his position in sevens where you will play him.
So seven players. So I'm just thinking of all the gas men that are in the Premiership now. Phil... With the first pick of the draft, Phil Largan selects who for your sevens team?
There's a core of three that I really, really want, and I imagine whichever ones I don't pick will be gone by the time I get the sixth pick.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
It really is. I'm going to go for Manu Tuilagi.
Oh! First pick of the draft! My word.
Who will be... playing at prop for
That's
me.
exactly the guy that I was after. Damn you.
He wasn't going to be my first pick. I was hoping I could get him as a late round pick.
Good luck. Yeah. That kind of value.
Ambitious.
JB with the second pick of the sevens draft.
Sorry, I'm just updating my draft board and getting rid of Manu. Okay.
Take the one I really want.
Pleased to announce
the second pick. I know who you're going to pick.
Of the... Egg Chasers draft. I pick George North. Wing. Prop. Great shout.
Yeah.
He would have been my other prop if I had the option.
You picked. Oh, I wanted him bad.
Well, so Tim, George,
back to back picks. Tim. Now you can probably inflict some misery on us too.
Do you know what? It's a game of sevens, and I'm looking for... It's not just about raw speed, although this person does have plenty of it. It's about footwork, and it's about brains. I select Danny Kerr.
Oh, good. He's not even on my board.
He's on my board. It's a
wowzer.
Good pick.
I'm glad he's gone.
And with the fourth pick and my second pick, I select the housefly, Marlon Yard.
Nice.
What
to play wing?
I'm playing Danny Kerr to play scrum half, Marlon Yard to play... play wing.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so with my next pick...
See, there is one that I want more than both of those players, but I've not selected him because I think it's a sleeper and you won't pick him.
Wow. My next pick... I don't know. I'm so confused.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting. This is a crazy pick. No, I'm going to leave him because I think he'll go late. I'm going to pick... Miles Benjamin.
Wow. Ooh. That's a maverick selection.
And where are you going to play him?
Oh, no, I missed something.
Where are you going to play
what
him?
What a gas man he is.
I'm going to play him as my other prop.
Wow. Okay, so now do I get two picks?
Yes, you do.
Ooh.
Is that how we're doing it?
Yeah, so you...
Yeah, like work
as a
zigzag.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, I quite prefer being on one end, though.
I'm going to say George Ford to control things at 10.
Wow, yeah, I wanted him, but that's a good selection.
Let's get
selection.
Ford off my board. Ford off the board. Hey. Joe Ford, did you say?
Did you have Joe Ford on your board?
I may or may not have had Joe Ford on my board. I can't believe I've gone.
I'm going to go... Mike Brown in my centre.
Oh, wonderful. Wow. Wonderful news.
Wow, that's...
Not on my board either.
No, not on mine.
Damn it. I could have left until
the
end.
No, yeah, you could have done. Phil so far has Manu Tuilagi, George Ford and Mike Brown. JB, you currently have George North and Miles Benjamin as your props. And...
James O'Connor.
Oh, good shout.
I didn't, obviously because he's going, I didn't.
Good shout.
Smug face.
That's excellent.
A scrum half. No, fly half.
Fly half, yeah. That is a great shout.
That is brilliant. Oh, I'm gutted.
You should be. You should be. He's a really good player.
I'm going to select, and I'm trying to be tactical here because I think I've got someone that you won't go for.
Okay.
Is it Banahan?
No, I'm just going to get him in the team because I think they are electric. I select Elliot Daly.
Oh,
nice.
Nice. Very nice.
That is nice. Very good.
Gas.
And back to you, Tim.
Yeah, I'm going to select. Right, OK. I'm pretty happy with that shaping up. Danny Care, Marlon Yard, Elliot Daly. I might just get my gas merchants done and dusted and sorted. And I've got a choice between two. I'll select Tom Varndell.
Nice.
Oh, good.
Expert on the seven circuit.
His fastest 100-metre time that anyone can find, a video, was him running 10.8 seconds barefoot on grass.
Yep.
Wow.
In socks, actually.
Yeah, in socks. Yeah, wow. So that's my back line, basically, right there. Danny Care, Marlon Yard, Elliot Daly, Tom Bundell.
Forwards still to pick.
Got my forwards to pick.
Jay?
Whew. Well, well, well. I would like to pick Kyle Eastmond.
Yes, that's excellent.
He was a potential for me as well. Where are you going to play him?
Centre,
right?
Centre at the moment. And things might change.
Because he was lined up for me at either scrum half or hooker.
Hooker, yeah. I'm thinking of hooker. I am still.
That's good. James O'Connor and Kyle Eastmond.
Good business.
Yeah, that is.
And George North. Oh, that's a delicious team.
Okay. So it's me for two. I'm going to have Khan Fotuoli.
Oh, fine.
At hooker.
Yep.
And Nicky Geneva on the wing.
You have got a very robust looking team, haven't you? That's solid. Yeah.
I think my team would smash yours, I really do.
Gunnar on the wing.
On the wing.
Fotuoli, hooker.
I would like to pick Fatu Vainacolo.
Oh, nice.
No, I didn't want. Okay, fine, he's done. That wasn't the one I wanted.
Where are you putting him?
He's on the wing.
Now I'm matching my teams up against your two. I'm thinking, maybe I just need to really hammer the gas home because physicality-wise, Phil's is going to be like playing Tonga at sevens. Just massive brutes of men. JB's is a good all-round looking team. I think I select Johnny May.
Oh, good. He's on my board.
Good look at him scrimmaging against my team.
My nightmare nearly came to fruition, which is when I picked May, I picked Tom May. I've got Tom May on my board.
Right, so I need to pick again, and I've got a hooker and a prop to select. I'm going to select at hooker, Shoutbritz.
Nice.
He had to go, I guess.
Footwork. That's six I've got in my team. Danny Care, Marlon Yard, Elliot Daly, Tom Varndell, Johnny May, Shoutbritz. Back to you there, JB. I wonder if your Miles Benjamin selection is looking like you could have done better at second.
Miles Benjamin's a slice.
Miles Benjamin's like 16 and a half stone.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's
huge, man.
Fair enough.
I would not fancy him against Miles Benjamin.
Okay. So I need to do a little bit of moving around. However, with my next pick, I'd like to pick Christian Wade.
Nice.
Oh, why did I not think of Christian Wade?
Yeah. You could pick Tom Vondell for some ludicrous reason.
Oh, Christian Wade, it's because he's injured. Out of sight, out of mind.
You don't have a draft board, Tim.
Yeah.
You don't have a draft board.
You're missing out.
Did you have Wade on your board?
He's on my board, yeah. Virtually everyone who's mentioned on my board. Benjamin wasn't. So it's me to finish my team then.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm going to go for my other prop alongside Tuilagi. He's going to be Luther Burrell.
Nice.
And
I like it.
Joe Simpson at scrum half.
That's a good scrum half.
That's what I wanted.
Right.
So angry with you.
Burrell is your what, sorry?
Burrell is my other prop.
So you have, so your team, let's do this, at prop, Manu Tuilagi and Luther Burrell.
Yeah.
Meaty. At hooker, Khan Fotuoli.
Yeah.
At nine, Joe Simpson, 10, George Ford. So that... Centre, Mike Brown. And on the wing, Nicky Gonover.
Yes. Happy with that.
Okay, to complete your team there.
I've had a bit of a nightmare here, to be fair. So
JB, you've got George North and Miles Benjamin as your props.
Eastmond at hooker.
Eastmond at hooker. You've got James O'Connor, Vinokona, Wade as well.
Well, it's not a typical scrum half role, so I could move O'Connor there. He wouldn't have any problems playing there, I'm sure.
Which means your fly half?
Cipriani.
I wondered if, when Sips would go.
Sippers!
So who's scrum half?
O'Connor.
Ooh, don't like the balance of that team.
Oh, I do.
Defensively, I'm not sure. Cipriani, Wade, O'Connor.
You got two wingers and two tens rather than a balanced back line.
That's why I like it.
I reckon this is the sort of selection which will make people go, eh, I'm not sure about that team. But I maintain that this player would be fantastic at sevens.
Is it your brother? Go on, pick your brother.
Nick Rouse.
No, I think Nick would be the first person to admit he would not be good at
yeah,
sevens.
Yeah, but you got to pick him. All my props.
I select at prop someone who has an unbelievable work rate, someone who has proved that they are expert at offloading out the tackle.
Jordan Crane, please.
Someone whose defence cannot be questioned, I select to play prop Luke Wallace.
Oh, that's no, a nice. Good one. Yeah. I like that.
That is...
That's very smart.
Yeah, clever.
So...
finalise the teams.
So your team, Tim.
I'm writing down my team. Props, Luke Wallace, Johnny May, hooker, Shout Brits, scrum half, Danny Kerr. Playing fly half. It's a pretty fluid game, isn't it, Tens? Mm-hmm. Elliot Daly, he's a ball player.
Good.
And then I have got Marlon Yard, Tom Varndell.
Tom Varndell.
Yard nice. Is the gem there. That's what. That's yeah, it. That's the game changer.
I think, looking at the teams, I think mine wins on gas quite significantly. Johnny May, Danny Kerr, Elliot Daly, Marlon Yard, Tom Varndell.
Hang on.
Mine wins on gas.
My front row alone is tremendously quick. Eastmond, Benjamin, North, Vinokolo and Wade.
And Cipriani, when he was at Wasps, was apparently the fastest player in the squad.
JB,
ahead of Saki.
Before you're injured, yeah. JB, North and Benjamin, Miles Benjamin.
Yeah, props. Eastmond, hooker. O'Connor and Cipriani in the midfield. Well, O'Connor, Cipriani. Wade, Vinokolo.
I do think
word.
There's a defensive frailty there. And like yeah. Phil said,
it's not balanced. Yeah, it's not balanced.
We're not here to defend.
I think my team has got the best balance to it. Burrell and Tuolagi, Fotuoli, Simpson, Ford, Brown, Conover.
I think yours would be one of those teams that turn up at sevens tournaments and try and play like it's a 15s game.
I agree with that.
They're all backs. I've not got a single forward in there.
Yeah, but you've...
How many forwards have you picked? Oh, who's left on your board, Phil?
Yeah, let's talk about who we didn't pick that you might have picked.
Yeah.
Charlie Sharples he's got gas.
T-Sharp? No, I didn't get... I haven't,
he's Benders!
Benders is on my board.
I would like to see the other good.
Alex Good? Are you mental?
Playing 10 for one of the teams.
No chance.
That's quite interesting.
I'd rather have a Foden there.
Courtney, look, in terms of forwards, Chris Ashton, maybe he's unfortunate not to be in, because he's got...
PC Boys?
He's got a serious
yeah,
gas.
PC
oh,
Boys.
The PCs, that's...
I've got both of them on my board. Croft, Watson, yeah. Joseph, Benders, Noel, Moynihan, Wood... Dave Ewers?
No. Gaskell could have been in there.
Oh, yeah, I got rid of Gaskell.
Well, that might be one of the things you could pick up on your team, is actually you do have to do a fair bit of rucking and stuff. And when back to the only people rucking...
It's not nice.
..and trying to present the ball, it doesn't go well quite often.
No.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll put a little graphic, we'll put our teams up on Twitter for you, at Rugby Podcast, and you can tell us which team you reckon would win, and even suggest your own. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Right, there you go. That's tapping into the seventh season that's going on. Now what we're going to do is we're going to, as we speak right now, we're going to fast forward in time to next week when JB and Phil have sat and are reflecting on what has just happened, which hasn't happened yet as I speak, but will have happened by the time you hear this. Oh dear, it's confusing, isn't it? The semi-finals of the Aviva Premiership. I'm sunning myself on my holiday. Phil is just back from Oslo. By the time this goes out, and JB is stewing on the fact we can't believe we actually have a life outside of this podcast.
We've abandoned him.
Oh, well.
Here it is.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, cheers, Tim.
Right, so we're now recording on Sunday night after having watched both of those games.
Yep, we're actually recording from the future. In terms of the podcast, or the past, if you're listening to the podcast. But
yes.
It all makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, fine.
So we've watched a couple of excellent games. Well, Jay has watched a couple of excellent games. I've been drinking champagne in Oslo for 2 days.
Claire.
So I've watched the highlights, but none of the actual games. So that means that Jay is probably, for the first time on the podcast, the most informed of the three of us.
I'm always the most informed. Yeah, now let me just set the scene for you for the Leicester-Northampton game. Now, I played sevens on Friday night in some sort of corporate thingy, and the winner of this sevens competition got to play a dream team. And the dream team consisted of Ben Kay, Martin Corey, Leon Lloyd, George Shooter was present, but I don't think he played. And afterwards, we watched the game whilst eating. So I was watching Leicester Northampton with about 100 other rugby lads, all eating fine food, with the Leicester table directly behind us. So pretty exciting stuff.
Very exciting.
Yes.
Very very good place to watch it.
Absolutely. So let's actually get into the game here. As you expect, the atmosphere was absolutely awesome. In fact, the atmosphere was probably several times better than the actual rugby on show.
There was some very good stuff.
Oh, no, the rugby was fine, but I think there was two very evenly matched teams.
Yeah.
And because they were evenly matched, it wasn't like a flowing Super 15 game. The physicality was absolutely frightening. Leicester took a early lead through Manu, and I think they scored back to back tries.
They went two tries up. Yeah, they were I think 15-6 up at one point.
And then of course, as referees do now, they can't help themselves but try and interfere with the game. So first of all, we had a card for Nicky Gonover,
yeah,
which was 100% a card. How he didn't get sent off. After that was incredible.
Oh, after that, yeah. Not for that incident.
No, not for that incident. After that, he started a fight, and he did something else as well. I think it was a high tackle or something ridiculous. Two things which definitely warranted a second yellow, but for whatever reason it was, the refs, or the ref, ref bottled the decision. And then we had the Mathieu, Ben Young, Tom Young's fights.
Well, before that, there was the Bowden yellow card for the tip tackle or not tip tackle, which because he lifted him to the horizontal and put him on his back.
Such a stupid rule. Let the boys play. Let the boys play.
I understand the rule, and I understand it's to protect people from like shoulder injuries and neck or head injuries. But he was driven back. It was a good hit by Bowden on Tom Collins, and he put him on his back on the ground. There was no...
Yeah, what's the problem with that? What is the problem with that?
It's the same as the Marcelo Bosch on Nick Evans. He said they lifted him past the horizontal, but it was only their legs kind of... Their back was flat and hit the ground flat, but their legs went up in the air, as you do when you've been smashed.
It just ruins the game. That ref should be lynched for that decision. It's absolutely horrific.
But then, yes, the fight...
The fight was so exciting. Now... The demographic that rugby wants to be targeting isn't housewives that don't like fighting, or people like you, Phil, who like ticking health and safety forms. It's people like me and real men. And in that tent was a lot of real men, and it was so exciting when first fight was that. Watching Young's drop was the reaction was incredible. And by the way, what a punch! I've not seen a good rugby punch for a few years now. It's very, very, very refreshing.
just on the other side, I love the intensity of it, but just
go and watch boxing.
Well, why throw a punch?
No. Do you know what the right refereeing call was there?
I know what you're going to say.
You stand them both up and make them shake hands.
Did you see the little Twitter exchange between the two of them?
Yeah, I did actually.
That was good.
They still get the idea. Unfortunately, the refs don't get the idea, and neither do the lawmakers, and they're ruining the game. So they should have been stood up, made shake hands, and then crack on.
But anyway, decisions aside, it was an incredibly close game, and it was decided in the last second when Wood scored. Now, one of the things that we mentioned on the podcast before is Leicester's lack of depth in the front row.
Yes.
And when Wood scored that, after 78 minutes, all three of Munipola, Youngs and Iertsa were on the pitch. They played the full match, which is very rare. Whereas Northampton had the luxury of being able to bring in Corbisiero, a Lions starting Lions.
Yeah,
front row.
I always wonder. He didn't look great though. I mean, he looked all right, but you know, he's still trying to find his feet a bit.
It's only his second game back after quite a long time. But I think that Leicester lack of depth in the front row certainly cost him.
I also like the George North try, who scored a try every good prop should score, which is barreling over from 1 yard. And I just loved the intensity of Wood's celebrations. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
BT showed it in super slow, high definition motion. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Almost as a kind of enthusiastic as Cockerell's celebrations after the Tuolagi try when he was furiously punching the air.
It was unanimously agreed on our table that it just Cockerell's not very likeable. Just not very likeable.
I appreciate his passion and his enthusiasm, but yeah, I can understand what you're saying.
Yeah, almost all of us like, have that Cockerell. now, the very worrying thing about Northampton is I think they're the best 15 who just don't have any backbone. They lost a Heineken Cup final, they've lost a Premiership final.
They lost the Heineken Cup final from a very winnable position as well.
And now they've come back from a pretty bad position and won a semi on the Saracens bogey team.
Yeah.
So that brings us nicely on to
the Saracens game.
Yes.
So Saracens played Harlequins
at
Allianz Park on Saturday afternoon.
And according to BT Sport, the most exciting part of this game is the fact that Rubber Crumb can get very, very hot on a sunny day. There was at least half an hour dedicated to the temperature of the pitch, which I thought was fascinating. When the rugby started, luckily it was slightly more interesting than the heat of the Rubber Crumb. And it basically went, or almost went as I thought it did. Or thought it would, sorry. Which is, if Harlequins can break the line and start offloading, they'll win. And the reason it nearly went that way is because of, again, more silly yellow cards.
Well, one silly yellow card that we've discussed, the Bosch.
Well, they were both silly. So
one silly from the ref, one silly from Matt Stevens.
What was he doing? I do not know.
Yeah, that was definitely, I think we can all agree that was definitely a yellow card.
Agree. Now, I think there might be a card missing here, unusually.
Yeah, you've said this to me, the Sinclair, the Brits Sinclair incident.
Yeah. Well, actually, two incidents involving Sinclair. So there was the big hit on Jack Berger.
Great hit.
And I thought, what a great hit.
And Jack Berger rode it well as well, because it was a monstrous hit.
He is a monster.
I could imagine when I saw that for the first time.
Jack, no!
I imagine you like a worried mother running on.
You leave him alone! I thought about that first hit, and I thought, any other day, on another day with another ref, that might have been called for no arms. Luckily, thank God it wasn't.
No, it was a great hit.
It was a tremendous hit. Loved it. Now, the second one was interesting because Sinclair has the ball and he had a storming game.
Yeah.
And they say that he jumped into a tackle. Now, my argument would be, how high can Sinclair really jump? Okay, that'd be the first one.
As soon as you're jumping, you're kind of centre of gravity, you're off balance, you've got no resistance. So Sharp Brits drives in low. And he was driving low to high, which is kind of...
How much do you reckon Sinclair weighs?
19 stone.
You don't accidentally stand up underneath a 19 stone man and don't realise it.
Because his weight is obviously top heavy, so he was falling. As soon as he was off the ground and there was contact, he was falling like head and shoulders first.
Now, my argument isn't it is a card, because I don't think it is a card.
Agreed.
Because these things happen in the heat of the moment, and it is what it is. But looking back at some of the very dubious decisions, Jared Payne being the obvious one.
That's not a dubious decision, but go on.
It is a dubious decision. I mean, surely Sharp Brits should have... as you would say, Phil, Sharp Brits should have slowed down a little bit, had a look to see what was happening, appreciated that he left the ground. Actually, Phil, are you not upset about that? That he hit a player in the air? Because you can't hit a player in the air, can you?
Well, you can't jump into tackles as well, which is what Sinclair did, which is a rule put there to stop that kind of thing.
I think that he was jumping to catch the ball and then offload it.
No, he had the ball and then he jumps into
the... Why would he jump?
It
makes no sense.
I have no idea as well, but that's what he did.
Well, Sharp Brits hit a man in the air. And the actual result of it all, I think, is the most dangerous thing I've seen on a rugby field all year. Because
You had a 19-stone man landing on his head.
Yeah, he looked like he's breakdancing. So I'm very surprised that no action was taken. But I was also relieved that for once in his life, Wayne Barnes used common sense, which is very, very rare. So good for him.
Yeah, got the right decision.
But don't worry, he ruined it with the Marcelo Bosch.
Yeah, we can definitely agree on that.
Now, I've got a bit of a problem here, Phil.
Okay.
I fell asleep for the second half of the Saracens game.
Okay.
And also all of the FA Cup. So you won't be getting an FA Cup run through either.
Thank goodness. The second half of the game, from the highlights that I've seen, kind of went as expected. Saracens brought on their big international substitutes and scored a few good tries. The handling and the offloading for the Ashton's try, the final try, was really, really good.
That was
nice. It went through like three or four pairs of hands.
Where does this leave Ashton? Because he's been playing phenomenal over the last few weeks.
He'll probably tour, but will he start?
I don't think Lancaster likes him.
No.
But he is scoring tries. He's in the right place at the right time. He's offering good support.
But there are other weaknesses in his game. I think defensively, and his all-round rugby union brain, I think, aren't as
all
good.
Brain. His all-round brain.
Maybe that. But look, Rookingham Maulin, that kind of thing, which I know it's not a winger's primary thing to do, but it is important, and there's times when you find yourself in that position. So
I think it's very hard to criticise anyone in that Saracens backline for defence, because they are just so, so dynamic in D.
As a unit. But I think he does get not shown up, but he's probably slightly wanting occasionally.
And I'll tell you, the other guy who had a tremendous game is Kelly Brown.
Yeah.
Kelly Brown looked like an absolute world beater. Interestingly, though, where does this leave the two finalists now? Because I suspect that Saracens would have liked to have seen Leicester, but now they're going to see their bogey team, which is Northampton.
Northampton, yeah. Well, let's get into it quickly. Who do you think is going to win? I know Saracens will be probably quite heavy favourites.
I literally have to the bookies. No idea. Looking at when they faced off against each other this year, Northampton. But then Sarries are just dominance.
Yeah.
Sarries are going to be coming off a very tough game against Toulon.
Yes. So Northampton have now got a rest week.
Yeah.
So they can recoup, recharge. Whereas, Saracens have got to travel to Cardiff to face arguably the best team in the Northern Hemisphere, the reigning H Cup champions.
Heineken Cup champions.
I was talking to a French girl in Oslo and she kept on calling it the H Cup.
It depends on that Heineken Cup final. If they win it and come out with no injuries, which they're not going to do, they might win it, but they're not going to come out with no injuries.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for Saracens because they're going to be on a huge upwards trajectory. If they don't win it and they're feeling a bit down, they're either going to have to bounce back and respond, but I actually think that Northampton will win it. I think Northampton have got the best 15.
Yeah, we've spoke about that before. I think there's a danger of what happened to Toulon last year happening. So they won the Heineken Cup, and then the following weekend they lost to Cast in the top 14 final.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they had any significant injuries in that match, but there was kind of the hangover, the euphoria, and then they had to get up again for another huge game.
Yeah.
So I think it will be difficult for them to win both trophies. So, in fact, I'm going to say, and I think I said it last week, Saracens to finish the season without any silverware.
Oof. I think they are going to win the Heineken Cup final. I think the week after that, they're going to be putting Jack Berger in his cryogenic tent every night that week and stuffing full of Kalahari sheep. And I think they are going to turn over Northampton.
Ooh, big calls.
So I'm going to go for two trophies for Saracens.
And then the other rugby this weekend, we mentioned Toulon beat Racing.
Mm-hmm.
Glasgow.
Oh, what was the Toulon Racing score?
16-6. They won.
Okay.
So not a high scoring game. Glasgow beat Munster by a point, which is a great result for Glasgow.
Yeah.
Great result for Scottish rugby, in fact. Munster will obviously be bitterly disappointed. Montpellier lost to Cast. So the top 14 final is a repeat of last year, with Toulon playing Cast,
mm-hmm,
1 week after the Heineken Cup final again.
Ooh.
So Cast will be, they'll fancy that. And then less...
Was it Toulon Cast?
It was, yeah.
Wasn't it Toulon Clermont? Think... No, sorry, Clermont Cast. Mm. I think it's Clermont Cast, because they bottled two... Anyway,
ooh. Yeah. And then Leinster beat Ulster. And there was an interesting thing in that game where O'Driscoll made a tackle, went down, and I'm not sure exactly what had happened, but there was fears that he was concussed. And so he wanted to carry on, but the medical team wouldn't let him carry on, which is kind of going under these new concussion guidelines, which is the exact opposite of what happened to Florian Fritz last weekend. Did you see that?
No, but...
He was in the Toulouse Racing
game. It also happened to someone else, David Melly. David Melly got knocked out against...
Oh, against... Yeah,
Saris. And he came back on the field, which isn't allowed.
Yeah, so, yeah. So if he was concussed, it's good. Good to see that. But yeah, that sets up a nice couple of weeks rugby.
Oh God, and then it all ends. Oh no. Yeah, and the chances of O'Driscoll losing his last ever game, minimal.
Yeah, very low for Leinster to get beat by Glasgow.
Excellent. All right, let's give it back to the substitute teacher, Tim.
So just to let you know what just happened, JB and Phil gave their thoughts on the Aviva Premiership semi-finals. They know what the final is. But as we speak right now, we don't know what that final is. But I'm assuming, and I think it'll be fair to say, what a cracking review of the game. Although slightly offensive comments there, JB, don't you think?
It was insightful, it was knowledgeable, and it was eloquent. And that's all you can ask for from a review.
And fair as well. Very fair.
Very fair. And I'm sure, JB, you weren't at all critical
of
an official.
But we can all agree, don't we? Wayne Barnes needs to be fired. Wayne Barnes needs to go.
All right. It's time right now to invite another inductee into something we feel very, very passionately about here at the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, and hopefully you do as well. Banter Squadron! We are twiddling our moustaches with beeswax as we speak. Banter Squadron is here to maintain banter standards in the game we love of rugby union, to uphold the traditional rugby banter values, and to reward service to banter that goes above and beyond the call of duty. Banter Squadron already has in it its very first member, Brigadier Badger, the Honey Badger, for services to banter. We are about to induct someone else into Banter Squadron. And this is an accolade up there with Player of the Season and trophies and medals.
It's more than that, Tim. It's more than that. They're the protectors of our great game.
Yeah.
It's not winning a fly-by-night award.
Well, next into Banter Squadron, joining the Honey Badger, we send... I don't know. A tear's coming to my eye. I can barely get the words out. Would you like to introduce our next inductee, JB? Before we actually announce who it is, what do they mean to you, this person?
Jamala.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Right.
What do they mean to you?
So I don't know why I said that then.
All right, JB's ruined the suspense. Jamala's in Banter Squadron. Well done, Jamala. Well done, Joe Marler.
So Joe Marler means Joe Marler to you.
That's what I say, Mick Morgan.
JB, come on, get with it. Get with it.
Joe Marler, yeah. So Joe Marler's in, yeah. So yeah.
That's it. What do you want to say about Joe Marler and his services to banter?
I think Joe Marler, although he's a young man, has got an old head on his shoulders. He reminds me of the typical touring prop from, say, the 1990s, 1980s, even as far back as the 1960s. True banter, true wit.
Do you not find quite often props don't have banter? Quite often. Props lack banter, I find, quite often.
Quite often, quite often.
But it's quite rare to see someone so full of banter in the front row.
It's all about his hair. Incredible hair.
I think he's grown out of that now. You know, he's got the full-on beard.
He did say on the BT Sport interview at the weekend that he's now receding a little bit more. He's having to rein it in.
He also accused a child in the Sale game of making him his slave.
Yes.
And he questioned the choice of boots for referee.
Listen to prior podcast for the stuff I managed to pick up on my phone microphone when I was stood next to him at the Sale Sharks Harlequins game. But as you quite rightly pointed out, there is one moment that singled out Joe Marler for this prestigious accolade, and that is when In the midst of battle when Harlequins were playing, he decided to pick up Andrew Smalls on his white boots, the referee.
Yeah.
Are you wearing those boots for a bet? You know, like Sean David?
Yeah. I paid for mine, though.
Did I just overhear Joe Marler say to referee Andrew Small, are you wearing those boots for a bet?
Banta Squadron!
Banta Squadron!
Joe Marler, we salute you. Well done. We are saluting you right now here in the studio at the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Let's be on our feet and upstanding.
Congratulations, Joe.
Welcome, you're in. You've made it.
Shooting the Messerschmitts of tedium out of the air.
There was one other bit of banter that Joe Marler had where he was on the England official RFU channel just doing a little video and was, you know, this is what we expect. This is above and beyond. He was just simply asked a question and instead of just answering it, he gave a full-on performance of the first song that he played in his car.
It was Adele, Someone Like You.
How does, give us one line then.
That you settle down, that you found a girl and you're...
What next?
Married now.
And there you go, Danny Kerr was with him. And Danny Kerr putting his hand up saying, boys, don't forget about me, I've got a bit of banter. Maybe include me in Banter Squadron at a later date.
See if he passes selection.
If you've got someone to select, suggest for Banter Squadron at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Right, now, like I say, this is a bit of an unusual podcast that you're listening to in that we're pre-recording it before the weekend's Aviva Premiership matches. JB and Phil from Phil's Sofa have recorded a little bit reviewing the game.
SofaCast.
SofaCast. But it does mean we're a bit limited about what we can talk about and what we can do in relation to the rugby that has happened, because as we're recording this, it hasn't happened. So what we thought we would do is just maybe take a little wander down memory lane and play you one of our favourite bits of the podcast. And this is number 34 we're on right now. And every now and again, and quite often, in fact, we select a 15. We pick a topic and then we select a 15. And we unanimously said this was the one we enjoyed both researching and then actually laying down a 15. And you'll see that laying down was an accidental
Freudian slip.
Thank you, Phil. But there were plenty of Freudian slips. Well, weren't even Freudian slips. There were just plenty of... Well,
you're
here. It's the Porn 15, one of our favourite 15s. Enjoy. So the Dream Team is where we choose a topic and then select a 15 of people that deserve to wear that shirt. Always provides a bit of contentious debate, and you can always give us your thoughts at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, eggchasers.com. Now listen, this music is because today's topic for the Dream Team is, I don't know how to put this, is porn putting it too...
It's quite blunt, but yeah.
It's quite blunt. Should we just call it an adult...
The adult 15.
The triple X 15.
Yeah.
The X-rated 15.
X-rated 15. Porn was how you described it to us.
Yeah, it was. I guess the message across. But here we go then. So we're selecting just basically players who've got rude sounding names. Pretty much is what it comes down to. So we start in the front row then.
Go on then.
Cocker?
Tony Woodcock?
Tim Cocker.
Cocker, yeah.
Cocker, there you go.
Yeah, I could be a hooker. Tony Woodcock, New Zealand.
Yes.
Good, solid.
Is it? Jay, is it?
Yeah, I think it's good.
No, he's went over his head.
Lost.
What?
He's not firing on all cylinders today.
Sorry, boys, I'm firing on a solid six today.
You just said solid.
Hey!
Got there in the end.
There's a couple of other Wood-related ones.
Yeah, go on.
Nick Wood.
Yeah, Gloucester.
Tom Wood.
But that's a back row. We're in front
just,
row.
Just in front row.
You're just saying the Wood ones. What?
Yeah, but we're in front row, Jay. Get with it.
Trevor Woodman.
No. I've got another prop.
Go on.
Carl Rimmer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Extra Chiefs prop.
Very good. I didn't have that. BJ Botha.
Oh, excuse me.
Brilliant. I knew this was going to be a good one. Oh, wow.
I didn't appreciate this. So when you told me about this category. I didn't appreciate it until I started looking into it and doing a bit of research. And then I was like, oh my God, this is going to be brilliant.
Who do we go for there? I think Carl Rimmer's got to get in.
Rimmer, what? BJ. They're awesome.
They're the best two.
Hooker, then. I bet we all have exactly the same one written down as our first choice.
Yeah.
Should we say on three? One, two, three.
Andrew Hall.
although Andy Titterall.
Yeah.
Titterall.
Whose nickname is Tits.
Yeah. Of course it is. The second row?
It's Andrew Hall, though, isn't it?
Andrew Hall.
So we've got a brilliant front row.
I don't think we need to discuss it.
BJ Boater, Andrew Hall, Carl Rimmer. That's fantastic. I bet there's a couple of names that feature in second row that we all have as well.
Go on.
James Horwill.
Good.
Horwill, I thought, well, anyway. And I bet the other one we've both got.
Possibly. Dick Greenwood.
Oh, no.
Is he a second row?
Had him down as a second row. I had to research
Will him. Greenwood's dad was Dick Greenwood.
Dick Greenwood, yeah.
Nice. Danny Grucock.
Oh yeah. So obvious.
So I think,
and I also had New Zealand lock. He played for New Zealand a few years ago.
Jeremy Thrush.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Is that a consequence of too much action? I don't know. How did you get Thrush?
I've got no idea.
Maybe this isn't the place for that discussion.
Let's not talk about that. No.
Danny Grucock's got a game, hasn't he?
Dick Greenwood. I quite like Dick Greenwood.
Dick Greenwood.
Dick Greenwood.
Yeah, definitely.
Defo. Dick Greenwood and Danny Grucock in the second row. That's brilliant. Back row, then. I've got two options at blindside, both with the same surname. Gloucester's Matt Cox and Edinburgh's Sean Cox.
Yeah.
Good.
Sean Cox is a bit more of a second row, isn't he?
Yeah, he plays sort of...
Chris Cracknell.
Nice. I like that a lot. He was an England sevens player, wasn't he?
Yeah. He used to play for Exeter when they were in the championship, I think.
JB's already mentioned Tom Wood.
Yeah.
And what about this one? A Canadian international who played a bit in Wales at Ospreys, Chauncey O'Toole.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, cross codes, you go with Ian Hardman.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Nice. Two more. David Pocock. And going back a few years from... The British and Irish Lions, 1955 tour to South Africa.
Wow.
They had a player called Tug Wilson.
Yes, he's in. So how do we pick a back row out of that lot then? Tug Wilson.
Tug Wilson.
Matt Cox, Chris Cracknell and Tug Wilson. Fantastic. Right, we move into the backs. This is brilliant already.
Tim, what did you have?
Neil de Kock.
Yeah. Yep. I got him. I had one... A guy that I played against a few years ago. He's currently playing at Roslyn Park. I think he was at Barking when I played against him. He's called Jack Gash.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Hang on. If I'd have come up with Jack Gash, you'd be all over me saying this can't be verified.
This is verified. He's played against him.
It can be verified.
This for verified then? A couple of weeks ago, I said Hooker, Max Pepper. Admittedly, I got it from a
under 13s
match report from Barnard Castle. Anyway, on the car down, someone said, Max Pepper, I know his dad. So it can't be verified.
Wow!
So you can be verified, so take that back.
Fair enough.
Jack Gash, you can actually get up a team sheet of Barking versus Sedgley Park a couple of years ago.
Jack Gash might even have to be captain, even though he's an unknown.
I'm pretty sure my guy will be captain.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, wow.
Fly half. I've got a pair of brothers, which probably won't both get in.
Go on.
The Bells, Tommy and Chris Bell.
Yeah.
So Tommy Bell plays fly half.
I didn't have that. Yep. We could also have had Duncan Bell at prop, but I didn't have those two.
Duncan Bell, cool.
I only had one fly half.
Yeah.
A guy that was signed by Edinburgh this year, although I don't think he's actually played for them, is called Bruce Dick.
Yeah, good enough.
That's brilliant. I do feel like a little bit of a school kid, just giggling at these. Bruce Dick. Who should we go? Do you want Bruce Dick or Tommy Bell?
Bell.
Tommy Bell is
better known.
Centres, then.
Salus. I think that's a good one. Yves Dongy.
Yes. I thought you could have had Gordon D'Arcy as well.
Any other senses?
I had BJ Mather.
Okay.
Dual code. Yeah, we've had the BJ thing before.
Have you? That's why Phil's in such a good mood this evening.
A Welsh international, Neil Boubier.
Boobier. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember him.
Spelt B-O-O-B-Y-E-R.
Boobier. Yeah. Good. Oh, I like, let's go Boobier. Yves Dongy and Neil Boobier in midfield.
There was also a South African centre from the 1970s called Peter Whip.
No. I said last week, Arthur Lemon passed away 1984, number 8 for Neath and Wales, wasn't allowed it. But no, you crack on.
We've got Yves Dongy and Neil Boobier.
Yeah.
Wingers.
Nick Cummings! Yeah! Nick Cummings.
The Honey Badger!
Just gets right up, yeah, and buddy, I was looking right up a drain pipe. I think he was huffing and puffing, and he's a tough rooster. Sweating like a gypsy with a mortgage, actually.
Good.
He's been mentioned plenty of times, right? I've got a good one that I thought of only in the car on the way here. Paul Sackey.
I had Paul Sackey. I love it. I think it's brilliant.
Although there is, right? It won't be right for this 15, but an honourable mention for a women's French international called Fanny Horter.
Nice.
She plays on the wing. But no, Paul Sackey and Nick Cummings.
Wingers with fullback.
I'm not going to say this. I'm going to ask Phil to read it because my reading is notoriously bad. I found this guy who plays fullback in New Zealand. Can be verified. How would you say that, Phil?
David Felcher.
Spell
Felcher.
Captain! Captain! Oh,
spell F-E-L-T-S-C-H-E-E-R. Nickname... Felch.
Oh God!
Plays in New Zealand.
If you're very a young rugby fan listening to this, don't look up what that is. Just ignore it.
Don't go to urbandictionary.com.
No,
do not do that.
Ignorance is bliss. Please no.
I did have a couple of other fullbacks.
Yeah, go on.
Perhaps not of the same calibre. William Ryder.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice.
And Willie LaRue.
Oh, good. Good.
Who do we pick as the fullback then? Do we go with JB's find?
David Felcher.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Can I just read out our 15?
Yes, please do.
our X-rated porn 15 is...
just before you read it out...
Go on.
Has anyone got a coach?
I do.
And I've got a stadium.
I've got a stadium as well. I bet we got the same one. I've got a coach, Dick Best.
No.
Oh.
I had a different coach.
Go on.
I had Les Kiss. Who was Ireland's defence coach who took over after Declan Kidney, replacement Kiss. For a short period.
Les Kiss is absolutely brilliant. That's so good. Go on, then, what's your stadium, Jay?
Shall we do it at the same time?
3, 2, 1.
Six ways.
Parker's Butts. I like yours better.
What was yours, Tim?
Barker's Butts. It's a rugby club in the Midlands, I think.
Six ways.
That's amazing. I love it. Although, have you seen the picture of the new Qatari World Cup football stadium? I reckon that could potentially be a stadium for this 15 to be playing.
Oh, really?
Have you not seen it?
Nope.
Have you not seen a picture?
Nope.
Oh, my word. How have you missed this? Hold on a minute. Qatar Stadium. Right. I'm going to show you a picture of the Qatar National Stadium.
So this is for the World Cup that's coming up.
The World Cup in 2015.
No, 2022.
This is one where they're going to have to hope climate change really takes hold. Or
I'm going to show you a picture of what the stadium looks like. You tell me if you think that looks...
horrific. That is horrific. Who did that?
Look a bit like a rugby ball, though.
A little bit like a rugby ball.
Do you know what this is?
A bit
is?
Like something else, too.
This is clearly the product of a country which doesn't really allow women to do much. Because if they did, if they just had one woman on that design team, they might have put their hand up and gone, guys, this isn't a great idea. What you're doing, not good.
One final thing before we leave the dream team. There is a quad rugby team in America, so wheelchair rugby, who are called the Portland Pounders.
Nice. Go Pounders.
The Porn 15 looking for bigger tackles and softer hands.
Oh,
like it.
Nice.
That's the strap line. We've got. They play it six ways. They're coached by Les Kiss, and the 15 is BJ Botha, Andrew Hoare, Carl Rimmer, Dick Greenwood, Danny Grucock, Matt Cox, Chris Cracknell, Tug Wilson, Jack Gash, Tommy Bell, Nick Cummins, Eves Dongy, Neil Boubier, Paul Sackey, and David Felcher. That boy, that's fine work.
Very
well
good.
Well done, lads, well done.
Right then, boys, another podcast done.
Indeed it is.
And on to the Premiership final we go. Signing off with Mick Morgan, the commentator, going mental in this little remix.
In the final and on in the game. Andy A!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.